Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan All-Stars, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist show in the country. Now, here's your All-Star host.
Well, yes, I'm proud to be one of those All-Star hosts, Karen Cataline, with you. We just had a marvelous first hour of Alan Nathan's All-Stars. And so we're going to move right along with someone we've had before, Nils Gravilius, prominent Los Angeles-based private investigator, formerly of the Pinkerton Organization, best known for his investigation of the Wonderland Avenue murders, their cover-up and the ties they exposed between LA's city government and organized crime, always riveting stories. His books include Skulldiggery and Sub Rosa, with his next book, The Last Lawman, due in 2026. Thank you so much for joining us, Nils Gravilius. Good to have you along.
It's my sincere pleasure, Miss Cataline.
You sound like Sherlock Holmes, only better.
Well, I don't know Mr. Holmes or
personally.
His trusted sidekick, the doctor, but so there's lots of criminality afoot, Ms. Cataline.
Yes.
I think you've observed a bit of that about the nation, have you not?
Oh, my heavens, yes. Not including, this isn't what you were slated to talk about, but the former vice president former vice president selected to run with Kamala Harris is now being embroiled in quite the scandal. $1 billion being diverted to bring terrorists into Minnesota. Do you have a thought about that before we start talking about that other problem? There's so many, as you said,
well,
Skulldiggery indeed.
Let's not forget that Timmy's wife dearly enjoys the smell of burning tires at night in the summer. You know, that's a mostly peaceful thought, Ms. Cataline. Of course,
yes.
Of course, Timmy's going to import as many terrorists into Minnesota as he possibly can, and thereby the remainder of the nation. He's following in the proud footsteps of Betsy Hodges, the former mayor of Minneapolis, another virtue-signaling Marxist of the DFL. The Democrat Party in Minnesota makes no bones about the fact that they've always been a socialist organization, and they adjudge themselves in consanguineous alliance with the jihad. So they're going to bring lots of Hodges in.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Are you still there? Oh,
I'm here.
You all of a sudden, I thought, oh, God, I lost him.
You have not lost me. I'm standing by like a mean dog on a weak leash to do violence on your behalf if you have enough money to pay me. That's what I do.
Okay.
I am for hire,
wonderful.
Not for sale, for hire.
For hire. What bothers me often about stories like this Timmy Walz story, which is just getting started, is the number of Republican pundits or conservative pundits who like to characterize Timmy, as you put him, as merely a dupe that he just was incompetent. And this, not only is that so ridiculous, but they miss the point that this is highly likely to have been deliberate and malicious. Do you already see evidence of that, or is it just the pattern of behavior of radical leftists?
Well, it's radical leftism. It's not him alone. He's part of a larger organization. They're all about group activities on the hard left, and this is just one of them. Remember, they are experts at your money. There would be very little hardcore left-wing organization in this country without tax dollars flowing to them.
Yeah. Well, and it's a great way to, who thinks that there weren't, I don't have evidence of this, but who thinks there weren't kickbacks of $1 billion? I mean, you know, that's what do they say, a billion here, a billion there, pretty soon you're talking about real money.
Yes, yes, Ms. Kathleen, these NGOs that the blue cities and blue states are so fond of is the filter for the tax dollars that they use to pay the parasite class Democrats to organize, to harvest ballots, to register dead bodies and illegal aliens and things like that. They run a spoils process, and they subscribe to power through the left this way. Everybody gets their share of it. I want minimal government, a government on a diet like some sort of a Czechoslovakian underwear model. But they want a big, corpulent, loud government that rewards them, you know, completely.
Yes.
Not just in ideas and laws, but also lining their pockets. They're voting for Santa Claus government every chance they get.
And as witnessed by the fact that the greatest threat in the history of their lives was Doge and exposing USAID, that they took greater umbrage to that than anything else you could have done to them. Because they knew that was their honeypot.
Right. You'd think that it was 9/11, that somebody had flown a couple of passenger airliners you know, into the art museum or something.
Yeah, it's so true. Well, might as well look at yet another absolute atrocity, that the shooting of two National Guard people in Washington, D.C. just last week. The quote is, "We imported the problem." Yet another example of deliberate and malicious. No?
No, I completely agree with you. I love how the New York Times and characters like Jen Psaki are furiously claiming that all of these people were vetted, even though we have people in the defense establishment saying they were not vetted for this. They were vetted only to the extent that they were vetted and evaluated for their value as paramilitaries in Afghanistan, not for their ability to be resettled in suburban America, Ms. Kathleen.
Mm-hmm. They rolled out the red carpet for them. In fact, they put them ahead of the line in places like New York. Am I wrong? I think read that.
You're not incorrect. And they have all of these benefits being extended to them. And they have these NGO agencies that are helping them, quote unquote, resettle. Well, there's some sort of advocate in Bellingham, Washington, for this guy who keeps talking about how he was suicidal, his family was afraid he was falling apart, etc. Did that person ever call, say, the FBI and say, "I think there's a problem here"? What happened to see something, say something?
Well, and we had a guest earlier who said that being mentally ill and being a terrorist are not mutually exclusive, and they always call terrorists mentally ill because they want to obfuscate the fact that they're terrorists.
I agree with you, and it could be that the radicalization that this man underwent occurred in the social welfare agency that was supposed to be an advocate for that community.
Yeah, well, it's clear that we don't know, and there was no way to adequately vet him coming out of Afghanistan. My understanding was that the people who truly did help the Americans in Afghanistan were not as readily welcomed as the terrorists who didn't. I'd like to see that investigated as well.
Well, so would I. One more time, they've inflicted a horrendous problem on the American public. I don't think that Joe Biden was conscious enough during the 4 years of his maladministration to know everything that was going on. This has Susan Rice and Ben Rhodes' greasy footprints all over it.
And POTUS 44 as well, who never met an enemy of America that he didn't like.
Oh, I agree with you. That's what we have. And you know that they're going to raise holy hell when they start ejecting these people.
Yeah, but that just means you're doing the right thing. The accountability factor is what I think that the Trump administration is in a race against time. Nils, could you stay for one more segment?
I'd be delighted.
We would be delighted to have you. Nils Gravilius will talk about some of his books and more. What a colorful, fascinating character, Nils Gravilius. Stay tuned. You are listening to the Alan Nathan All-Stars. I'm Karen Cataline. We'll be right back on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Medicare's annual enrollment period is the one time each year for people to review their coverage and ensure it still works for them. Premiums, prescriptions, and provider networks can shift from year to year. With more, here's Blake Amos, Medicare expert with HealthSpring.
Medicare enrollment is an important opportunity to make sure your plan still matches your health and budget needs. Even if you are satisfied with your current coverage, it's smart to check for updates so you are not caught off guard by unexpected costs or limited access.
The Medicare annual enrollment period runs through December 7th. It's a time for people with original Medicare to consider supplemental coverage or explore Medicare Advantage plans. It's important to research and understand these different options to find the right fit.
When comparing plans, look closely at monthly premiums, deductibles, and which prescriptions are covered. Also, check that your doctors and hospitals are in-network. Taking the time to compare options now helps avoid costly surprises later.
To learn more about Medicare annual enrollment, visit healthspring.com.
Prime Video introduces June Farms, a charming new unscripted series filled with love, drama, and farms. June Farms, which sits on 120 acres in New York's beautiful Hudson Valley, is a well-known destination for high-end weddings and events. The farm hosts eccentric locals, well-heeled travelers, and occasional celebrities who come for the unique accommodations and incredible service. But sometimes, not everything goes as planned. Demanding guests, unpredictable weather, vendor mishaps, and a property full of animals can all wreak havoc on the farm's intricately planned events. June Farms owner Matt Baumgartner.
This is a high-stress job to say the least, especially during wedding season. But despite the chaos, my employees and I all come together, kind of like a weird, dysfunctional family, and create magical memories that last a lifetime. I think viewers will enjoy getting a look at what happens behind the curtains and how, incredibly, everything seems to fall into place.
Don't miss June Farms, now streaming on Prime Video.
About 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer in their lifetime, and more women under 50 are facing the disease than ever before. Dr. Lori J. Kirstein from the American College of Surgeons has more.
Being diagnosed with breast cancer at a young age can create unique challenges. Many young women may be busy building their careers, relationships, or families, and suddenly face tough medical decisions that can affect the rest of their lives.
Surgeons are seeing this shift firsthand, and research is underway to improve treatment options and better understand how to support women with breast cancer.
Receiving support during and after breast cancer treatment is essential. Younger patients often have a harder time finding resources that fit their needs, from fertility preservation to guidance on recovery after treatment. The American College of Surgeons Commission on Cancer has resources to help address the needs of younger women and all women with breast cancer.
Learn more at facs.org/breastcare.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles, and access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at pva.org.
Welcome back to Alan Nathan's All-Stars. I'm Karen Cataline, happily joining the other All-Stars in great memoriam and in honor of Alan Nathan, whom we lost very, very recently. We continue this show in his memory. And what a great joy it is to talk to Nils Gravilius, prominent Los Angeles-based private investigator, formerly of the Pinkerton Organization, and known for his investigations in the Wonderland Avenue murders. Let's talk. Thank you for joining us, Nils Gravilius. Let's talk about your book out in 2026, The Last Lawman. And by the way, thanks so much for staying with us.
Oh, it's my sincere pleasure. I'd be very pleased to talk about The Last Lawman. It's my true-to-life memoir about 30 years afield under my own aegis as a private detective and my prior work as a Pinkerton and as a soldier. I had an above-average education as a detective, being in Army counterintelligence, and then being involved in the Pinkerton service and other contracting or situations, that sort of thing. I went through two layers of police academy at Rio Hondo and took AOT in Iowa when I lived in Iowa. So I have all of the education a police officer, a police detective would have without a lieutenant breathing down my neck about what I say to people in the media say, or what I think is a good case versus what the department might think is a good case. And so I've had some real advantages. The disadvantage sometimes is things like operating without backup. When I was out picking up bail fugitives, it's not as if I could get on the radio and get a helicopter up in the air, 30 officers to join me on pursuit or something like that. I had to do it on my own and had to use different tactics and mind my risk management at all times, but I've survived it so far.
Well, tempt us or entice us with one of these stories from your book, or at least enough so people can pre-order it. Most layman people who don't have a background in personal private investigations, what they know is from television. What they know is, we were talking earlier about Sherlock Holmes. Give us at least part of a story that you relate in your book that would make us want to read the rest.
Okay, so occasionally we'll hear about a dirty, filthy, corrupt government official, will we not?
Oh, so, yeah, that happens.
One time a lawyer came to me in Los Angeles who said he had been given a series of rulings from a judge with no basis in law and not supported by facts. And he was mystified, and his client wanted him to check and see if there was some conflict of interest between the judge and the opposing party. So I investigated the judge and the opposing party, and I couldn't find anything to tie them together other than the case. There was no shared business, shared property, a secret relationship between the party and the judge. And then I was going through things after a week, kind of banging my head against the wall, Miss Cataline, and I found the notice for a continuing education seminar that the lawyer representing the opposing party was putting on, and his guest of honor was the judge. And I thought to myself, what if the relationship is between the lawyer and the judge? Now, they were an odd match. I was wondering, are they in business together secretly? Because he was 20 years younger. This lawyer was, he was 20 years younger than the judge. She was much older. He was a skinny like a broomstick, Ichabod Crane, if you want to think.
Yes.
And she looked like Joe Pesci. She was
a woman who looks like Joe Pesci, really?
Right, a troll, a bridge troll. I mean, she was that unattractive. But, I mean, there's someone for everyone, right? So I don't know. My old partner, Don Moon, and I, we went to this seminar dressed in coats and ties and signed in as if we were lawyers taking continuing education. And I could barely stay awake during the morning presentation, and then they served the rubber chicken lunch. And they were seated at the dais, and there was a whiteboard behind them. And Don and I got up to look at the whiteboard and see if we could see anything at the table. And the lawyer and the judge were holding hands under the table. And so I got my camera as if to record the things on the whiteboard for my continuing education and turned and captured them engaged in what we'll call foreplay, Ms. Cataline, the judge and the lawyer, right? Now, so this is a superior court judge, somebody with enormous power. Lawyers don't like having problems with judges, so this is nitroglycerin to handle, right?
Absolutely.
So he asked me a couple of times, how do I handle this? What do I do with this evidence? And I told him, you go into court at your next court appearance and in front of the judge and the opposing attorney, you ask the judge to go into chambers because you'd like to discuss a matter relevant to the situation.
Yes.
And I won't ruin the rest of the story by telling you
no!
what happened. You'll have to buy the book, Ms. Cataline.
You are so good at that. That's great. Now, that was, I asked you to do that, and you indeed did it. Now we all want to know what happened.
Well, it
probably
is entitled,
called him on the carpet.
Well, you'll have to read the book. It's The Last Lawman. It's available for pre-order now on Amazon, and it will come out just in time for Father's Day. You can buy a copy for your father if he'd care to read it.
Yeah, in June, then. It's in the can, I presume, and it will be out by June. That is great. The Last Lawman. We have a couple minutes. What do you want to say about either of these cases? Is there something that you'd care to proffer? Let's talk about the Tim Walz case. What do you think we're going to find? You think he's either going to step down? I think he needs to be charged.
I think he badly needs to be charged. And if he were a Republican governor, the news media would be hounding him, demanding to know when he was going to resign and how he was still beating his wife and things like that. he will have some sort of a fine print defense is what I'm going to say. He's going to have something that shows that he was entitled to do this, authorized to do it. Mm-hmm. It was within his powers, or it was an oversight. Somebody else was supposed to handle it. It's not my dog. He didn't bite you. You kicked him first. You know, all
those are not
things.
My pants. That's
right. So
you've heard that, right? Those are not my pants.
Right. Correct. Yes. And the news media is going to work overtime to drive his getaway car. But if the U.S. Attorney's Office is on top of anything, they'll roll up that entire network. Everybody involved in that has dirty hands. And we need to start ejecting some of these people. And if they've already achieved citizenship and they're involved in criminality, we need to unwind their citizenship and send them back to the Somalia they love
more.
So much.
Couldn't agree more. There are so many people working to with hate and viciousness towards their very own country. It's nihilistic. It's worth a whole nother interview with you, Nils Gravelius. Always a pleasure having you. Thank you and best of luck with the book. We'll have you before it comes out. We'll be right back after this.
Breast cancer is a disease that is diagnosed in over 300,000 people in the United States each year. Of those, about 30% diagnosed with early stage breast cancer will go on to develop metastatic breast cancer, which means the cancer has spread to other parts of the body. Here's oncologist Dr. Edith Perez, Professor Emeritus at Mayo Clinic with more.
If you've been diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, you may have heard of HER2. HER2 is a type of biomarker, and biomarkers can help doctors get a better sense of how your cancer might behave and which treatments may be an option. For a long time, HER2 expression was seen as an on and off switch. Your tumor was either HER2 positive or HER2 negative, and that was it. We now know that HER2 is more like a dimmer and can include lower levels of HER2.
No matter where you fall on the HER2 spectrum, understanding your tumor's HER2 status can help you and your doctor shape personalized treatment aimed at better managing your disease. Visit HER2statusmatters.com to learn why asking your doctor about biomarker testing and HER2 status is important. if you have metastatic breast cancer.
The holidays are a time for celebration, and for many that means indulging in delicious foods that are often high in fat and cholesterol. But for people living with uncontrolled high LDL cholesterol, the bad cholesterol, too much of these foods can further increase LDL-C and increase risk for heart attack or stroke. Besides diet and exercise, many people take statins to maintain healthy LDL-C levels, but even that may not be enough for some. Registered dietitian Leanne Bloden is VP and Head of Clinical Development at Esperion.
Statins are the standard of care in cholesterol management, but may not be enough or may not be tolerable for patients who have what is called statin intolerance. Alternative medications are available to help people who cannot take statins at all or at recommended levels. Patients dealing with statin intolerance can ask their healthcare provider about alternative medications to help manage their high bad cholesterol and reduce the risk of a heart attack or stroke, not only during the holidays, but all year long.
Visit statinalternatives.info to learn more.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Alan Nathan's All-Stars. I'm Karen Cataline. Always a pleasure. It's been a pleasure for many years to be part of Alan Nathan's All-Stars. Now we do that show in memoriam to Alan Nathan, who was a force to be reckoned with and still is in many, many ways. We are I'm pleased to welcome founder and CEO of Pickaxe, the groundbreaking social media platform built on two uncompromising principles, freedom of speech and freedom of reach. Love that. He hosts the Jeff Dornick Show, and his newest book is called Following the Leader. Jeff Dornick joins us right now on the Alan Nathan All-Stars. Hi, Jeff. Good to have you along once again.
Yeah, thanks for having me back on.
Yeah. So Elon Musk doesn't much like the HB1 visas for certain third world countries, and he's once again wading into politics. I love him as a defender of free speech, not so much when he gets involved in politics. What do you say about this? Is this self-serving on his part? Or he's certainly entitled to speak up about it, but I wish he'd more stay in his lane, I guess. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the reality is I don't mind too much with people that aren't, you know, actively involved in politics speaking their mind, you know, just because, you know, he has as much of a say as the rest of us when it comes to, you know, what's supposed to be our self-governed society and all that. At the same time, it doesn't change the fact that he's wrong, and he's wrong on a whole host of things. and that's
right.
That's the reality that we have to face. And so for me, I look at somebody like Elon Musk, and it seems as if everything that he talks about is self-serving. He's looking at it from his perspective and mm-hmm. his ultimate goals. And just last week, he was actually explaining what his ultimate goal is when it comes to everything that he's working on, from Tesla to the Optimus robots, to artificial intelligence, to everything. And that is actually using, and this is his own words, both on Joe Rogan's podcast and at his Tesla shareholders meeting, which was
yes.
to use capitalism in order to usher in a communist utopia where humans no longer have to be in the workforce, and instead all the work will be done by AI and robots, and we can just go about our lives not having any responsibility at all. That is his stated end game when it comes to everything that he's working on.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that. So he's falling for the utopian siren song of communism. And maybe he's also falling for a lot of these dictator wannabes. They see themselves as the savior of the world. And all that ends up happening is they cause misery and unhappiness because they rob people of their own agency. What say you?
No, I would 100% agree. And the thing is that he's very smart in the way that he's pitching this as well to people is that he understands the shortfalls of communism in general. You know, because that's the argument that a lot of us conservatives and even guys like Charlie Kirk would make all the time. It's like name one communist society that has ever worked. It's never worked in the history of mankind. You can even go back to the early New Testament. Look at the Book of Acts, where it says that the early church was selling all their possessions and sharing them amongst themselves. What most people don't talk about is a few books down the path, the Apostle Paul is having to go around the entire all the European churches begging for money to send back to the Jerusalem church because they ran out of money because their communist utopia didn't work. And so when we're looking at it now,
never does.
Elon is doing, though, is what he's saying is that he can usher in a communist utopia because there will be a surplus of resources because the AI robots will do everything, which very well may be true, because when you think about it, they could theoretically be more effective at, you know, harvesting and growing food and all of that. The problem that we face is now you're taking away the need for human beings to be in the workforce, to have any kind of responsibility, to be self-sovereign, to be independent, to have any constitutional right you can imagine, because if you are beholden upon somebody else for your revenue, for your food, for your housing, for all of that, all of a sudden you aren't actually free. You're a slave, even though you're not necessarily working. You have to do what the person who's paying you asks you to do, and that's the problem that we're going to be facing and he's predicting that we're going to be there within the next decade.
I don't think anybody could have said it more clearly and more succinctly than you just did, Jeff. As I was hearing you talk, I was thinking, you know, years ago I was in musical theater, and there's that wonderful phrase from The Music Man when Harold Hill is selling a bill of goods. But he is telling the truth, because he says the idle brain is the devil's playground. And this is how it is. If you don't have a personal vested interest in your own freedom, your own property, your own life, you are going to be a slave to someone else who does have an interest in those things. I just wish it were more evident what we're talking about, you know, and it's not. It's not. Our freedom is not as self-evident, I don't think, as Thomas Jefferson said it was. We have to keep reminding people all the time for that.
Yeah. It's a very good point. And I think that the really important thing to think about is that, and you mentioned Thomas Jefferson, you know, we're looking at our founding fathers. But the what's lacking today, including in Elon Musk and all these guys that are developing this technology, is a belief in the one true God. And so when you look at our founding fathers, this entire country was founded on this theological presupposition that God does exist, that God created us. We're created in his own image, and because we're created in his own image, we have certain inalienable rights that are given to us by God that cannot be taken away by the government. But when you look at the secularization of our society, they deny the very existence of God, including people like Elon. And so what ends up happening is if you deny that God exists, you deny our rights giver, and thus you deny our inalienable rights. That's where you get guys like Sam Altman, who's the CEO of OpenAI, who does ChatGPT, where he says that we're going to need this new social contract in the new era of artificial intelligence because you cannot have a constitutional republic in the era of AI because of things like personal property rights and plagiarism and free speech and all of that. This is what happens when you deny God.
Hmm. What do you know about Elon Musk? Is he like an avowed atheist, or what do you know about what he said about there being a power greater than us?
Well, he believes that we're basically in a simulation, so we're not even actually living our lives. It's much like the Matrix, the movie.
We're in a simulation. What?
Yes. And,
okay.
He would also argue there is no God per se, but he's a quote unquote cultural Christian, whatever that means, which basically just means that he's implementing certain, you know, what he thinks are the important things out of the Bible, but he doesn't necessarily acknowledge, you know, that there is a God or anything along those lines. But what's interesting though, is he does seem to have this kind of Jesus or God complex when you think about it, because what he's doing with Neuralink, He's helping the blind to see. He's causing the paralyzed to walk, and he's actually talking about rapturing a certain percentage of the people on planet and taking them and setting up a new civilization in outer space up on Mars. He kind of has this kind of God complex going on with what's going on.
Very dangerous.
So it is interesting for sure.
Well, and I've thought about this a lot. And regardless of where you are personally on the God question, the whole notion of being accountable to something greater than yourself is wholly and completely incompatible with the average authoritarian dictator. And that's why people of faith are always on the front lines of attack. In communism, that's all they want to do is take away that sense of faith that even leaders, in fact, particularly leaders, have to be accountable to something greater than themselves. Otherwise, they will appoint themselves as God in their universe and in everyone else's. It is very upsetting that Musk is really on that road, because it's deadly dangerous. We've seen it again and again.
Absolutely. And this all goes back to in Romans 13, where the Bible says that all leaders, in politics and government or anything like that, are put there by God himself. And that shows Christians that even our leaders are underneath the responsibility and underneath the regulations that God puts forth and underneath the responsibility that God puts forth. And dictators do not like that, like you said, because that means that they are beholden to somebody else and they can't just do whatever they want.
Tell everybody, boy, I wish I could talk longer. Tell everybody about Following the Leader and where people can get that book.
Yeah, definitely. Following the Leader, I'm diving into like the history of the cult of personality and the cults and the CIA and the FBI and intelligence agencies, MKUltra, all the fun stuff. If you guys can actually pre-order that at gatekeepersonline.com.
When is it out?
It'll be out probably by the end of this year.
Wonderful. Jeff Dornick, D-O-R-N-I-K. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Looking forward to the next time. We'll be right back after this.
Respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, is a common, contagious, and potentially serious virus that can affect the lungs and breathing passages. GSK's Sideline RSV campaign is highlighting the risks for older adults, especially those with certain chronic conditions. With more, here's Dr. Leonard Friedland from GSK.
Each year, about 177,000 adults 65 and older are hospitalized in the U.S. with RSV. Adults aged 50 to 74 with chronic lung or heart disease, complicated diabetes, or weakened immune systems, and all adults 75 and older are at increased risk for severe illness.
Vaccination is available to help prevent severe RSV.
It's essential to understand your risks. Older adults should talk to their doctor or pharmacist about RSV and ask if vaccination is right for them. Taking proactive steps now can help prevent severe illness later.
For more information and resources, visit SidelineRSV.com.
This holiday season, as families gather to celebrate, the Army Reserve is proud to reaffirm our commitment to those who serve and those who support them. Command Sergeant Major Gregory Betty shares more.
The Army Reserve supports our nation and invests in the future of our warrior citizens each and every day. Our soldiers remain combat ready to respond to today's ever-changing challenges with world-class training and career opportunities. The Army Reserve remains focused on building a stronger, more connected community. From the U.S. Army Reserve, happy holidays to all soldiers, families, civilians, and the communities that support us. Wherever you are this season, thank you for your service and dedication. Wishing you a joyful, safe, and peaceful holiday. Twice a citizen, combat ready, this will defend.
Visit usar.army.mil to learn more about the Army Reserve.
Flu season typically occurs in October through May. Last season was among the most severe in recent history, resulting in an unprecedented number of pediatric deaths. Dr. Candace Robinson, Director of Scientific Affairs and Public Health for U.S. Vaccines at GSK, shares more.
The flu can lead to serious illness, hospitalization, and even death, especially in young children, older adults, pregnant women, and those with certain chronic health conditions.
Megan Parks, a mother from Houston, Families Fighting Flu advocate and GSK spokesperson, shares how the flu impacted her family.
My daughter, Kennedy, was a healthy two-year-old who died suddenly from the flu. Flu can be deadly, and annual flu vaccination can help prevent serious complications.
Help protect yourself and your loved ones by prioritizing flu vaccination for everyone 6 months and older in your family. Speak with your doctor or pharmacist about flu vaccination today.
Visit cdc.gov/flu for more information.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking, but no, my friend. I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times? When we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while. Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to Alan Nathan's All-Stars here on the Main Street Radio Network. I'm Karen Cataline, and what a fun chat we get to have to wrap up this hour on Alan Nathan's All-Stars. Dr. Gilda Carl joins us. She's known by her listeners and followers as Dr. Gilda. She was the host of Fox's Dr. Gilda TV show pilot, MTV's Love Doc, and TV shows on Trinity Broadcasting Network. She wrote the 30-Second Therapist column for the Today Show and the Ask Dr. Gilda column in the National Enquirer and for Match.com. She was the therapist in HBO's Emmy Award-winning Telling Nicholas. Her latest book is Real Men Don't Go Woke. Love that title. Dr. Gilda, thanks for joining us on the Alan Nathan All-Stars.
Great to have you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
So wonderful to talk to you about this, because you are female and you know what's going on today as well.
Not only that, but I have an MSW. I used to practice in the mental health field.
Oh, goody.
Although I didn't get it right, so I left and became a talk show host instead, you know, practicing.
Well, that's even righter. I think that's great.
Thank you. Well, you're talking about one of my favorite subjects, about masculinity and how November was Men's Equality Month, which I don't know what that means exactly, but I do know that when the left was trying to pretend that suddenly they like men after spending 15 years calling masculinity toxic, I don't think it was working. What say you?
Well, I absolutely agree with you. We have all seen through the veil. It is BS. They don't mean what they're talking about. They spend $20 million trying to find out what makes men tick. And they could have spent under $20 and read Real Men Don't Go Woke, because all the data is in there. It's there. It's talking about what real men are going through now. Actually, somebody commented that they believe this is a love letter for men. It's talking about what they've been through, what they are challenged by, those who have stood up, and what they must do. But it doesn't stop there, because I also show them that the answer to everything right now is in the hands of women, making it safer for men to speak, out without being castigated and challenged and
emasculated.
Well, I didn't say castrated, but that's all part of it. That's
same
right.
thing. Emasculated. Same thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. So when our appetite on this book a little bit, I'm looking at it on Amazon right now. Real Men Don't Go Broke, the book they would not publish. The
not
truth.
Woke. Not broke.
What?
Real Men Don't Go Woke. You said broke. Right.
Yeah. It says the truth that must be told. Give us a little bit of that truth that must be told, and you're telling it.
Well, I am telling the truth. First of all, nobody would publish the book from the big publishers. And this is my 19th book. I've worked with the big publishers. I've gotten into arguments with them in the past, but they did not want to publish this book, because what I learned is that the majority of our editors are anti-woke. They are in their mid-30s or in their early 30s, and they do not want anything published that is anti-woke. What I have found is that a man wakes up in the morning, tries to get to work, he's automatically called toxic. And where does he go from there? You know, the pendulum swings from one extreme to the next until it finds its modicum. But here we are with men trying to survive in business, in their family lives, with women. And they, every step of the way, They are being told, be quiet. I don't need your help for this. I don't need your name. I don't need your children. I don't even want to have kids with you. And they, the younger men, are pushing towards families. They want to get married and have children. But those women of their same ilk are finding it otherwise. So they don't want what the men are wanting. That's a disconnect right then and there.
Right.
So we're having problems.
All the way since the 70s, women were told not only a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle, but we were taught that if we did want a man, he had to be Alan Alda and not Tom Selleck. Or an earlier generation, he had to be Ashley Wilkes and not Rhett Butler. And the dirty little secret is women love, want sheepdogs. We want sheepdogs who want to protect their families.
That's correct. And even when we speak that kind of language, we are told by other women, notice, it's other women who say, oh, no, we don't need anybody to protect us. We can do this all ourselves. Well, how's that working for you, ladies? You know, I give counseling. I give advice on my website, and people are coming to me. The women are coming to me. They can't find men. Well, what do you expect when you keep pushing them?
When you hate them. I mean, a lot of women are taught to hate men. I've got to just point out, we don't have much time left. It's really, really a short interview. And that is that this feminization of America, feminization of a country, is really more of a tactic than a goal. And it's a tactic towards socialism and communism. To feminize America is to make us dependent on government, not on men or self-sufficient in any way. I think that has been exposed with books like yours, who are saying that's just nonsense. Nonsense.
That is nonsense. And yet, who voted for Mamdani in New York? Young women.
Right.
So if they are carrying the torch, I'm telling Republicans and men in particular, you get out there to vote and you start making your voices heard, because what the women have said to shut up and be quiet and just support us and protect us whenever we want is not flying. And men are seeing through this, and they're disgusted. Some men are saying to their sons, don't go out with women. Don't date. Don't marry. And that's not an answer.
Leftists love men as long as they're wearing a dress. But if they're not, if they're wearing pants, leftists hate men. Your book sounds delightful. Everybody has to get it. I love it.
It is. Thank you so much.
Real men don't go woke. Thank you so much, Dr. Gilda. Love to have you again.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Our pleasure. Well, that does it for this edition of the Alan Nathan All-Stars. Tune in every weekday for more Alan Nathan All-Stars. Good day.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.